From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of March, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Friday afternoon. Coming up, we'll talk about the marketplace with Mike Zuzlow, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, and take a look at the weather forecast, too, that with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions from right here in Champaign County. Eric will detail, in fact, the newest in the long-range forecast as they look into the summer months for the United States.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day at $5.39, finished a half higher, July at $5.28.5, up a quarter, and December new crop at $4.78.75, 4¾ of a cent lower. Bean futures, May contract at $14.13¼, down a quarter of a bushel, July up one at $14.02.5, and new crop November, a quarter of a cent lower on their settlement price, $12.43¾ a settlement. Meal prices at $400.70, down $4.10, the bean oil at $55.36, 75 cents higher for the day. Wheat futures soft red in the July at $6.32, down 3.5 cents. And the hard red July at $6.08¾, 1¼ cents lower for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished at $119 even for the April, 47.5 cents higher. Feeders at $136.35, up $1.10 per 100 pounds. And lean hogs at $91.40, down a dime for the day. Crude oil futures 40 cents lower on a barrel at $66.60. And the diesel fuel around 0.6 cents higher at $1.96.6 per gallon. The wholesale price of gasoline at $2.15. That's up 0.2 cents. We're now joined by Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, to take a look at the marketplace on a Friday afternoon. Hey, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me about this past week and how you view the marketplace.
I'll tell you, Todd, I'm in a situation with the meal-led break where we made some new 2021 lows on Friday. The March expiration going down below $400 a ton. And the fact that I think the major driver to this was the trade finally catching themselves up to what's happening with African swine fever in China, because they didn't see a USDA report that scared them on the supply side. This leaves us in a very precarious situation because, for instance, in the meal, we broke through the 26-week moving average for the first time since, I want to say, August or September of last year. And so we're really between that and the weather change in the hard red wheat belt, where we're going to look like we're going to get really crop-saving rain at this point in the next 4 days. I think you need a turnaround week next week. Otherwise, the trade may start to be looking at the stocks report and the acreage report and the technicals, and may try and drive us down into the end of the month before those reports come out. I think that's how I'm going to play it. In other words, if we don't have a recovery week next week, and how I'm going to play that is, I'm going to get some short-term, short-dated new crop puts bought, and especially beans, but even corn as well, and be there in case this market wants to keep going down into the end of March, like it did back in 2008.
What do producers have at risk for this week on old crop?
As far as the downside potential, or what do you mean by?
No, just in sales that they have not made.
I think they're probably in corn. They probably have a substantial amount booked already. In beans, they probably also have a substantial amount. But I get the sense that there is probably 15-20% of the old crop still out there that it's the traditional marketer who won't let that last 20% go until he gets safely planted in his new crop. And so I think that would be the number that I would use right now. And that would be, still a very ample amount, especially given our pipeline supplies. I think the biggest thing as far as a question mark and why would we have a turnaround next week, it would be the idea that we have found demand in the meal. The crush margins are back. The Chinese still need beans, and they can't get them from Brazil or Argentina. And unlike the USDA, I think the trajectory of Brazil's bean production is going down, not up. And I know CONAB came in with a 135 soybean production number this week. And really, that was over a million more than USDA's increase. But they also talked about higher yields in their soy complex and in their production. And I'm hearing the exact opposite, that between quality and yields, the supply is going down, the production is going down.
I also made note on both new crop futures for corn and soybeans. While the week didn't feel terribly bad, unlike the week where we had that felt bad and the markets ended higher, this week actually ended lower for both of them week over week.
Yeah, this is an important technical dynamic. It's an important technical dynamic from a momentum and sentiment standpoint, because that's what caught us up in the meal. I think that's where the funds piled into liquidation mode and selling more aggressively in the meal for pretty weak fundamental reasoning, if you ask me, because we've known about this African swine fever issue in China for better than a month, but we didn't know what USDA was going to say about the March supply demand report for South America. So I think between your point about the weekly new crop prices and the fact that we tested and held a really key uptrending support line in the weekly lead month prices for corn and beans, we really have to perform next week, especially given that the hard red wheat and the soft red wheat did not perform so well. And it was interesting to me on the wheat too, Todd, that it was really the European market that led us lower. European futures was down 7.5% on the week. We were down 4 to 4.5% here in this country. That usually is not a good indicator, because it usually suggests that either the demand in Europe and the Middle East is wavering a little bit, or we've got a currency issue that's causing headwinds for the market, especially the soft red market, because that's where the funds are.
What do you be watching next week?
Clearly, next week will be Sunday night's weather and how these May futures take off in terms of being lead month. And the corn still looks the best, because we were able to close out corn at 549. Beans did not look bad at all, coming back with the close of around 415. So again, staying above key trend line support, but those technicals and rainfall totals in Kansas and Oklahoma and Nebraska are going to be the two top things for May on Sunday night.
Speaking of the technicals, did we make a contract high and a hook down this week in December corn?
In the December contract, I know we made a new contract high.
That was a hook down week in that case.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we made a high of 485.75 on the 8th. And so that would have been right after the right after coming back from the first of the week. And closing, yeah, we didn't make a new weekly low. We made the weekly low on the 9th of 475.25, but it was really close.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, interesting stuff. We'll have to be watching really closely as we go through next week. Offhand, Mike, I mentioned this, I think, earlier, that we were scheduled to be at the Beef House next week on the 16th. And sometimes that's a week that turns things in a different direction. So,
well, and we've got new position limits coming in Monday as well. So buckle up. It's going to be, I think the volatility is going to be as great as 2012 just because of that, even if we don't have a drought.
Well, let's see how she goes. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Mike.
You too. Thanks a lot, Todd.
Indeed. That's Mike Zuzlow. He's with GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget, you can find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You do that at WILLAG.org. Just can click and play our audio from right there on the web page. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Thanks for taking the time with us today, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I took a quick look at the forecast, and gosh, I thought we were supposed to get a lot of rainfall, but that doesn't appear to be the case, at least here. It looked like there was sunshine for the next couple of days. What's happened?
Well, what's happened is that the deep upper-level low that's cutting across the Great Basin today on Friday is going to become vertically stacked. And all that means is that where the upper-level low, way up in the jet stream is, it's going to sit right on top of the surface low. Now, for a surface low to keep strengthening and moving east, you normally want to have the upper level low behind it. and therefore they pull each other along, and then they move across the country. Well, this one's getting all stacked up. Be happy we're not in Colorado or Wyoming or the High Plains today, because they're going to be getting over the weekend, you know, feet of snow potentially right up as you butt up against the mountains. But this whole stacked system is just going to fall apart as it moves east. In fact, it's going to try to dive a little bit to the southeast. So where, gosh, last week I would have said, hey, look out, we could get quite a bit of precip out of this. Now it's like, okay, enjoy your sunshine because it's going to be around. And we may not see, you know, a lot of precip around here until we get into next week with another system that's going to come out. So, yeah, it all fell apart for us, but it is certainly going to be kicking and screaming through the mountains this weekend and really dumping a lot of snow there, which, by the way, is fantastic. We need to return moisture to the High Plains like we've never had to before, given the drought situation there. So those folks, while they're not going to enjoy getting potentially 18 to 30 plus inches of snow, the ground is going to enjoy it when it starts to melt off.
I'm going to assume it's warm enough that that'll be a heavy wet snow, so there'll be a lot of accumulation.
Yeah, and it will be, it's right now potentially going to be packed with somewhere between 2 and maybe upwards of 5 inches of liquid equivalent. So that means when you melt that off, we're talking about a lot of moisture there.
You mentioned in that process another system next week. What do we know about it?
Well, we know that it still has to get onshore way out in the west, and it's going to be taking its dear sweet time to do that. So even though right now it looks to be a pretty potent system, which will again bring a chance for more mountain snows, more precip into the central plains, more severe weather to the south like we've been seeing, as it gets to Illinois, we'll have to just take a look at the timing of it next week. And then there is a little bit of risk for some of the white stuff in northern Illinois next week. But, you know, as you and I were talking about, you bring in that March sun and beat on it, snow doesn't stick around for very long. And I'll be honest, we could use more moisture right now across the state of Illinois, Indiana, you know, as we get into this next growing season. Where they don't need it is in the Mid-South. That's where there's been too much precip there over to the Tennessee Valley.
I did make note on the drought monitor, which for a long time it had a little tongue coming out of the west across central Illinois towards Springfield and Logan County. That dissipated, but now there is an area from right where we are through Vermilion County up, I think, through maybe Lafayette, Indiana, and such, that has developed. Any worries with that?
No, I'm not worried about it yet. And the reason why is because normal spring rain should be able to knock that out pretty easily. And despite the fact that we could go over to a less, let's just call it a less active pattern as we get toward the middle and end of March, it doesn't mean that we won't still see our normal, you know, spring thunderstorm threat as we go forward, which could just knock that out really quickly, which is one of the best parts about having our soil with our normal spring rains.
What's the long-range forecast look like in April as it begins?
Yeah, I just got brand new updates this morning, and I'm not surprised, but I'm excited that the models just want to keep mild conditions around. There's no signal right now that we could go over to an extended cold time period again in the next 6 weeks, which means we'll have shots at cooler air. That's normal, right? I mean, it's spring around here. That's normal. But I don't see anything that's going to be scary cold and causing some problems, which means we could get some early heat into the soil, get some GDUs accumulating early. And then as soon as those insurance dates come, I think folks are going to be able to really go after getting this crop planted. I'm just concerned about tighter windows with the possibility of an increased precipitation, you know, frequency problem that we could have in April and May.
I know farmers are really worried as they look towards the summer. Is there any new information there?
There is. Last week, we did have released the brand new long-range updates from the European model. And then earlier this week, we had the updates from the National Multimodal Ensemble. And these are kind of the two biggest long-range forecast groups that are out there. They want to continue to start things off with the heat, above average temperatures, and also a bit drier, possibly in June. But to be honest, if I could dial up dry conditions, you know, to finish May and start June and then have the heat come in, that usually spells huge yields for Illinois as long as we bring in the summer thunderstorm activity in July and August and avoid extreme heat. So what are these models doing? They're trying to back the drought and the heat issues west with time. So if they start off here but move to the central plains and to the northwest with time, that would be a good scenario. But with the cooler ocean temperatures just off the Baja right now, if those don't fade to warmer conditions, that would increase the risk of us having a hotter and drier summer here in the Midwest. And certainly that's going to be on, you know, top of our minds, given right now what we've seen happen globally with a tightening up of supply and things like that. So I think there's going to be a lot for you and I to talk about in the coming weeks and months, certainly with the potential for drier conditions.
Well, there's been a lot for us to talk about. And speaking of global, Argentina remains a difficult area.
It does. And so there's pockets in Argentina that have been very dry. We've heard reports about how this is really impacting production and quality there. And at the same time, it's been very wet to get the crop out in parts of Brazil. So Argentina, models have been hinting at bringing in quite a bit of rainfall. And just each new run, they back off a little bit more. But to be honest, any rain that they get this time of year can be really, really good for helping that crop finish. So we'll watch that carefully because they might be getting some good thunderstorm activity here in the next 10 days or so.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and joins us each and every Friday right here on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.